Welcome to the Master Your Breath podcast. My name is Tom Richter, I'm your host, and I welcome you to today's episode where we will talk about breathing systems versus breathing principles. And this is a very important topic, not just for breathing and if you want to improve your breathing and feel better and live a more joyful life because you know how to breathe well, but it really applies to anything in life. There's a lot of fighting and arguing going on nowadays, and a lot about who's right, who's wrong, and if you're not with me, you're against me, and this is the right way to do it. And I'm suggesting that if we distinguish between systems and principles, there can be a lot more agreeing on things and a lot more about allowing other people to be happy with their system, and I can be happy in my system, but we can agree that both systems are a way to do it. And also, when I start any educational course, my teacher training or my Master Your Breath Academy or really any course, even classes, I encourage people to ask questions. I encourage people to disagree with me, because out of this disagreement, we can find new ways of understanding or a deeper level of understanding the topic. And my answer usually is not, this is the right way or this is the wrong way to do it, but it will rather be something like, if that's your goal, do it this way. If another thing is your goal, do it in a different way. Or within that system, this is how you do it, and so on. So it's not a black and white answer. It's a lot of gray space and a lot about what is your individual situation at this very moment, what's your goal, and therefore you will have different right answers for different moments, for different people, etc. Now, what do I even mean with systems and what do I mean with principles? And I will try to bring in some of my stories so you also learn a little bit more where I'm coming from, about where I'm coming from. If we talk about breathing, I talk about the optimal principles for breathing, for example, with a good posture, so the respiratory diaphragm can actually move freely, breathe diaphragmatically, breathe rhythmically, breathe through your nose, slow and with a small volume or with a minimal volume. Those principles should be applicable to everything you do. So they are applicable to when you're sleeping, when you're walking, when you're sitting on the couch, when you're running, when you do a yoga practice, or more specifically, when you do an Ashtanga yoga practice. Now, I started doing yoga many, many years ago, and I had done some yoga, but only when my brothers, who were a little older, or who are still older than me, and they were kind of mentors to me, when they started doing Ashtanga yoga or showing me Ashtanga yoga, all of a sudden I was hooked, I was intrigued. I was like, I want to do this. This looks cool. This looks amazing. I was, you know, early 20s. I loved the way it looked, the way it felt, the discipline. It kind of nudged me to create for myself. And I remember, and I always keep saying, after 2 weeks of practicing every day, because I immediately felt so great, I wanted to do it the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day again. After 2 weeks, I looked back and I thought, oh wow, after 2 weeks, I can already do this that I couldn't do 2 weeks prior. But there's still so many things that I still cannot do. And then after 4 weeks, and after 4 months, and after 4 years, it was still that same place between wow, I have already achieved so much, but look what I can still achieve. So this system of Ashtanga Yoga worked so amazingly for me because it hooked me and it created the discipline. It created this rhythm of my life. It gave me a ritual. And it was also very, like, why is it disciplining? Because it removes freedom in a way. It gives you a lot of freedom when you do it, but when you do it, it removes the freedom by saying, don't do anything that you would like to do, do that. Inhale, lift your hands up. Exhale, now fold forward. Inhale, just lift your heart. Exhale, jump back. For example, in a sun salute, right? It's not do some kind of sun salute that feels good or think of a movement that would feel good now. It says do it exactly in that way. But not only that, it says as you inhale, you lift your hands up. Same length of inhalation and lifting the hands. It also says look at your fingers while you do that, or look at your hand, or look at your nose, or look at your third eye. So it's very specific in what to do when, which movements, how do you breathe, etc. And that makes it a system. There's also many more restrictions. Only go to the pose that your teacher gave you, and then you have to, then you might be stopped and learn to do that last pose sufficiently if you cannot immediately do it. And only then you get the next pose. So again, there's restriction. There's kind of force, you're forced, in a very sweet way, of course, to work on the things that you got to work on, that you got to improve before you move on to the next one. There's also this discipline of, okay, you have to do it 5-6 times a week. Take one day a week off, and so on. But if we just take the breathing, it tells you to breathe in and out with roughly the same length. Free breathing with a little bit of sound, not too much. And it's called Ujjayi breathing oftentimes, even though we could debate if Ujjayi breathing is the right term in that moment, but that would go too far now. Point here is, there's a very specific way of breathing in terms of same length of inhalation and exhalation with a little constriction of your throat so you can hear the sound and you can also control your intra-abdominal pressure much better if you have that soft constriction of your epiglottis at your throat. Now, that's within that system. Does that mean that I should always breathe same length of inhalation and exhalation with that sound as I go through my day? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that when I go swimming or when I go and sit on the couch or when I sleep, I should still breathe in that way that I breathe during my Ashtanga practice? No. Does that mean that I will have the same length of inhalation and exhalation through my whole practice? Probably not, but I'm attempting to because that's what the system tells me. It removes the freedom and therefore allows me to learn something, get better at it, because I'm doing something very specific. And now I'm doing all the movements throughout the practice with that kind of breathing. Now I was saying this, that I have these principles of optimal breathing. Breathe diaphragmatically through your nose, rhythmically, slow, less volume. All these principles apply to the Ashtanga system. Now, I choose a very specific rhythm, let's say 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, or just at least same length of inhalation and exhalation. But there is a rhythm. And I will breathe through my nose, I will breathe diaphragmatically, I will breathe as little as possible in terms of volume in those 4 seconds, because of course I can breathe in 1 liter in 4 seconds and breathe that liter out, or I can breathe half a liter of air in and out in 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out. So the principles apply to that system. But now, let's say I'm sitting on the couch. Of course, the rhythm will be a different one. Of course, because I'm not moving while I'm sitting on the couch, I don't have to breathe as much volume. I don't have to breathe as often. Maybe I'm inhaling for 2 seconds, exhaling for 3 seconds, and then I'm waiting for 10 seconds until I feel the need to breathe in again when I'm sitting on the couch. Or I'm going for a run, and now maybe now I'm inhaling for 3 seconds, out for 4 seconds, or even better, now that I'm running, inhaling for 3 steps, out for 4 steps, waiting for 2 steps, and then again in and out. And then as I increase my pace and I run faster, my body needs more air, needs more oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange, and therefore I will inhale for 2 steps and exhale for 3 or 4 steps. And there's no waiting time because now I'm really running fast and I need more air. But it's still the same principles that I'm applying. Now let's say I'm going to the gym. Of course, when I'm squatting a heavy weight, there will be a very specific way of creating intra-abdominal pressure. Maybe I'm inhaling, creating the intra-abdominal pressure, squatting down, coming back up, and only at the last moment, pressing the air out. But what do I do immediately after the squat is done and the weight is off me? I'm breathing calmly through my nose, diaphragmatically, trying to recover my breathing as fast as possible. And even while I was doing the squatting, I'm inhaling through my nose diaphragmatically. Then maybe I'm bracing, of course, and creating this support for my core. But I had this nice posture. I had the diaphragmatic engagement to use to create the breath. I used my nose. I followed a specific rhythm for that moment. And of course, I might breathe in actually more volume because I want a lot of intra-abdominal pressure, possibly, but it will still be just the right amount, not more. So I hope that kind of makes clear what I mean with principles versus systems. Now, after I started my Ashtanga practice, I was lucky enough to get to meet my teacher, who was an Ashtanga teacher and a Pranayama teacher. Paul Deligan is his name, and I plan to have him on the podcast at some point. He is definitely a master Pranayama teacher, and I learned a lot, and I continue to learn a lot from him. Now, the way he was teaching me and the way his teacher, who also became my teacher, Tivariji, who is part of this long lineage of Pranayama yoga teachers from India, the way they taught me was through the way I was practicing and through, you know, when I started, of course, you know, I was a beginner for Pranayama, but I had some basic knowledge from my Ashtanga practice, and they checked my pulse for Ayurvedic purposes. And they gave me a specific breathing practice. And so that became, again, my system. Use this system every day and do your pranayama practice. Because I knew exactly what to do in my pranayama practice, I was doing it every day. Later on, I learned more about how do you breathe in life, during all the activities, what are good principles of optimal breathing, which I had, of course, intuitively already learned from my breathing practice. But now I was getting various different people talk about what they had figured out and what they used as a system, and I was integrating that into how I'm teaching. So when I teach movement, when I teach breathing, I use certain principles that are applicable across all the disciplines, but then I apply them within a system. So if somebody wants to come to my Mysore class, they will learn the Ashtanga sequence. They will learn the Ashtanga system. But of course, I will teach them how to move based on optimal movement principles. I will teach them how to breathe based on my optimal breathing principles. But the system of Ashtanga will still be the one that they will be practicing, modified to their individual needs at that moment. And when somebody does my Master Your Breath course, they will learn the optimal principles of breathing in daily life and really go through it one by one and apply it to each and every activity of their lives. And that has this, that builds that strong, strong foundation, which has this amazing effect, because all of a sudden, in everything they do, they think clearer, they are calmer, they can manage stress when it comes up, they can communicate better, their voices become fuller and deeper and more resonant, they feel better, they stay calm in a situation where before they would have been triggered into fight or flight, their digestion improves and all these things, because breathing affects all these things. But they will also learn a system of pranayama or of a breathwork practice where when they sit down in the morning or in the evening or whenever they choose to do it, and they say and they tell me, I have 5 minutes every day to do my movement practice, I will give them a 5 minute practice and they know exactly what to do when they sit down. And now, in 45 minutes, just when I'm recording this, Sunday morning afterwards, I will have a movement therapy or yoga therapy workshop. And there, it's all about how do you relate to your pain? How can you overcome pain? And one of the things that I'm saying in that workshop, but maybe you have heard me say it on Instagram or in my breathing group, Empower Yourself Through Breathwork on Facebook, the principles are always the same. So if you learn to move and breathe well, this will not only make you, and plus using yoga therapy principles, this will not only help you recover from an injury, it will also prevent future injury, and it will also help you progress in your practice, because the same principles do that. They recover, they improve, they prevent. So for example, somebody comes with wrist pain. Of course, I will not tell them to do a handstand. But if I tell them how to release tension from the wrist, and then at a certain point when it's not irritable, when it's healed enough, teach them how to move the wrist in a proper way, how to co-engage different parts of muscles of the wrist. Now they can use those principles to stabilize and create circulation around the wrist, which will make it heal. Now, the same engagement then later leads to, okay, now I can do a push-up position. Now I can put some weight on my wrist again. Now I can use it again through the whole range of movement and increase that whole range of movement. And later on, that same principle, those same principles of aligning, of engaging, of co-activation, and so on, can be used to be in a handstand. So, again, the similar principles, same principles, depends a little. Of course, some therapy principles are all about recovery and maybe not applicable anymore, but when you do a handstand. But you get the point that if you know how movement works, how breathing works, you can apply them again and again for various things, whether it's therapy, whether it's general living in a joyful alignment, in a joyful, calm state of being, or whether it's progressing in some way. And so just to bring it now back to the beginning, what are some benefits of systems? It gives you discipline. It gives you a rhythm. It gives you a ritual that you can do daily. It removes freedom to make it very clear what you do. It removes freedom and therefore you are working on a very specific thing. It removes freedom and therefore you will also do the things that you don't really feel like doing. But ideally, there should still be that principle of, are you happy while you do it? You can be in discomfort, but are you joyfully approaching that discomfort? Are you exploring it? Are you breathing through it? Because then it can be healing. It can release emotional trauma. It can release mental disturbances, etc. But if you come with the idea of, now I have to, I must, my teacher will think bad of me if I don't, and stuff like that, then the system can become a dogma, and then it can create all kinds of problems. And that's where also all the systems, whether it's the Iyengar system in yoga, the Ashtanga system in yoga, any guru system in yoga, but also any political system, any movement system, every nutrition system, if you go on Instagram or, you know, any social media, and you constantly get the completely opposite advice from different nutritional experts. That's just one example. They are talking about systems. There can be a system where you only eat one thing and it's really good for you and remove everything else. And there can be a nutritional system where you eat something else, let's say veggies or meat. And both systems can work, let's say for some time, to create a certain effect. And just that the one removes everything else except X and the other one removes everything except Y, they can still both be beneficial without saying one is right or one is wrong. But they are still following, for example, the principle of choosing only one thing and removing everything that could be inflammatory, for example. It's a great principle. Now, that's the systems. Now, principles, they are very applicable. They build that amazing foundation. So if once you learn the principles of anything, of movement, of breathing, of eating, then they are applicable to everything. But they are not very good in building discipline, because discipline comes from sticking to something. And yes, you can stick to principles, but principles, because, oh yeah, well, they're applicable to everything. Yeah, I'm kind of already doing it. They're not really encouraging that. So, for example, one way of teaching breathing principles, breathe diaphragmatically, breathe with a nice open posture, breathe through your nose. Now I can say, use the system of breath snacks, which I also talked about in my last episode. Breath snacks are every day, 1 to 5 to 10 times, whenever you can, take a half minute or up to 5 minutes and simply sit or stand and apply one principle. And then let it go and just keep doing whatever you're doing. That could be when you're sitting on the couch, before you start driving a car, you know, you just sit down and before you start driving, you just breathe for 1 minute. It could be when you're standing in the supermarket waiting to pay, you know, all these moments, or in the office when you just have a moment of looking out the window. So this is, again, a system. Every day, maybe at the beginning, the system is even so strict that you put an alarm clock every hour or every 2 hours, and then you just do it. That's the system of applying the breath snack, which makes you apply the principle. But the principle itself, you do all the time, but you need a system to get used to get into the habit of doing it. And so a system also needs to be exciting to you. So if I do Ashtanga yoga, I feel amazing. I love this system. I haven't found a different system that gives me all the things that Ashtanga yoga gives me. But there might be people that say, I did Ashtanga, it really didn't intrigue me. I didn't really feel great. But if I do some other system, and that could be, you know, anything, that could be a handstand class, a general movement class, going to the gym, it could be because you like the teacher, or because you like the book that you read about it, or that you saw a documentary, or maybe your best friend is doing it. There might be many reasons why one system is appealing to you. But the problem becomes only when those systems then become the dogma. this is the only way that works. And now I'm telling other people that do something else, you're not doing it right because Ashtanga Yoga is the best system. Or my pranayama practice is the best system. No. But are you using those principles? Like if somebody comes to me and they do a different pranayama practice than I teach, I say, that's fine, that's great. But let me see, let me check, do it. And then I will say, well, here's two principles that you could be working on that you can apply in your pranayama practice, even if it's a different tradition, a different lineage or whatever. But you will feel much better because now you apply that one principle that somehow you missed. Not a fault of the system, not a fault of you. Maybe you just didn't get to it yet. But so I can apply my principles and be open to somebody using a different system. That's why when I see somebody in the gym going through movement and breathing and missing some of the principles, those basic principles, I can talk to them. Somebody comes to my Mysore and they usually don't do Ashtanga Yoga, my Mysore Ashtanga Yoga self-practice that I teach. I can give them general ideas how to move better, how to do their practice better. In the class, of course, it will still be Ashtanga Yoga, but I can be open-minded. I don't have to say, now you have to do Ashtanga Yoga before I can help you. No, because the principles are always applicable. And that's what I essentially apply to all my educational courses and all my coachings. And like I said, you know, somebody comes and wants to learn a handstand versus somebody that wants to heal their shoulder injury. Again, because the understanding of the foundational principles is there, you can apply them. And that's why I also, in my educational courses, focus a lot on principles, because then somebody can go out and really help many more people because they have understood this foundation. Now, that's it for today. I will get ready for my yoga therapy workshop now, or masterclass. And if you have any questions about that or about anything else concerning breathing, then, or just want to give me some feedback, you can leave a comment in all social media. You can join my group, Empower Yourself Through Breathwork, on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. You can check out my website and my courses there. And I wish you a beautiful day. Keep breathing calmly through your nose, diaphragmatically. Release tension from your belly. Sit tall. Blink from time to time. Relax your jaw. Soften your lips. And perceive all the beauty around you. With that, see you in the next episode.